The modern game. Beautiful, fast, clinical. So why are most betting apps stuck in 2005? The miracle in Istanbul, over. Thierry, no longer scary. Unbelievable Jeff, no more. It's time for change. Bet £5 and get £25 in free bets and 50 free spins with Midnight. We're not your granddad's bookie. Search Midnight Sports and make the move to Midnight. New customers only. Reward restrictions and T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, sweater weather. Bring on cozy duvet days, crisp air and crunchy leaves. Out is out. And the original pumpkin spice latte is in. Handcrafted with our signature espresso and seasonal pumpkin flavors. Then topped with whipped cream, cinnamon and nutmeg. Hot or iced. PSL. It's here. Only at the Starbucks Coffee Company. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Amazon brings the UEFA Champions League.
Unbelievable!
With Tuesday's unmissable match.
Enchantingly wonderful!
World-class players.
Salah!
What a strike!
Incredible drama.
And Haaland!
History in the making.
Rice with take two!
The UEFA Champions League. It's on Prime.
Physical that I could do, so was in there. It was weird driving in there and not playing, you know. It's just a weird feeling.
Do you got to do a physical just to like check that box?
Yeah, so I guess because they just traded for Carey Price, I guess he had to fly in and he's got to go into the facility and do that.
Oh, did you see him there too?
Oh, I had to get back home, so he was coming a little bit later.
Weird. So like they would have to do that. Like I remember when I was with Arizona, so Hosa would have to go in there, Pronger and Bolin, yeah. And all these guys.
It was set up funny? A day, and today it was the rookies physical, so we did it on that day instead of like all the vets. So yeah.
So you saw the young pups coming in.
Yeah, except for Celebrini Max, and he's doing like the Vegas tour thing, like the player tour. But
oh, what you used to do? Did you cry on the way in? Oh, Logan.
You know, as I was walking in the facility, I'm like, you know, it's weird, but I am glad I'm not getting ready to do a skate test and a bike test today.
The wind gate and all that crap.
Yeah. This is the last year. They took it out of the next CBA. No more fitness testing.
What?
Yeah. This is the last year.
Who wanted? Well, obviously the players wanted it, but that's crazy.
Yeah. The players got it out.
It's because they don't like it, or?
I think, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of injuries lately, I think, from like skate tests, and players don't want to do it. I mean, it's the one the Sharks do is really hard.
Well, I remember that. I was a part of that. But
yeah, they're similar to, like, you know, Torts always had his legendary one where players would get hurt often and they just don't want that anymore.
I'm amazed that the owners and the GMs and the coaches would allow, like, but then at the end of the day, like, what does that eat? And I when I went to San Jose, I was already checked out of my career. It's right. Like, what are you getting from that test?
Exactly. I agree. I mean, I understand you want the player to show up in shape, but yeah, just because you can ride a bike doesn't mean you're going to score 40 goals that year, right?
Yeah, it's just like, and it becomes like the combine where you train for those events, and it's like, okay, well, now we got to get on the ice, and I still suck, but I won, you know, the pull-ups competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, whatever, man. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. Standard stuff. If you don't want me to, I won't talk about anything you don't want to talk about, but it'll be good.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Well, let's get started. We'll get you on. Where are you going this weekend? Where are you going tomorrow?
We're going to Napa, and we're going to watch that golf tournament they got up there. They got, it's the Pro Core tournament it's called. And we're going this year because, all the main best golfers are playing because they have the Ryder Cup in a few weeks. So they all normally skip this event. It's like a low level tour event, but this year Scottie Scheffler is going to be there to all of them, so
sweet.
I love watching golf. I've been to like five tournaments maybe, so I enjoy it, and taking the kids, so hopefully they get into it too.
You're not going to team up with Pavs and just become a golf pro?
I'm not that good, man. I
Okay.
talked to him recently. He's playing in some other golf thing. I think he just won again, like, 'cause he
Yeah.
won Tahoe one out here, and then he played in another one a couple weeks ago, and he just won that. And I don't know if that was all celebrities or who that was, but
But
I mean,
still.
a different level, dude. Like, he could probably, if he plays, I think you have to be 50 to get on that senior tour. I think when he turns 50, he'll probably be in good enough shape. He could try out to play on
That's
that. He's that good.
crazy.
Yeah,
Yeah,
crazy.
I'm not that good. But anyways, let's get to it. I don't want to keep you. How many kids you got? Two, three, four?
Oh yeah, a 25-month-old and a 10-month-old.
Just call him a 2-year-old for Pete's sake.
I
Like,
know.
just stop the month or
I
thing.
know. I know. He just turned 2 a couple months, month and a half ago.
I got
He's
eight kids,
crazy
so
to turn 2 that time.
I'm over that month-year-old stuff. Once you get to the sixth kid, you're just like, are they
Yeah,
three
that's
years old?
crazy.
Are they
That's crazy.
four years?
You guys are nuts.
I know, but what are you gonna do?
I don't like just having 2. I'm like, oh, it's a lot of work.
Once you get to three and four, Cooch,
They
you
kind of blend into
overstep.
each other. Yeah.
You just end up screwing up their names all the time, and you're just like, hey,
Yeah.
get over here. Look at you, you're all grown up. I would have never guessed. It's cool.
Crazy.
All right, buddy. Well, let's get into it. I won't bore you too much. I don't want to. We'll see how it goes. All right, three,
Yep.
two, one. Here we go. Logan Couture, everybody. Not. I played with him for a year. We've kept in touch somewhat, and he's just one of those guys who is just a normal dude. When I went into San Jose, I had all these expectations and kind of insecurities because, Cooch, you guys were a juggernaut. Stanley Cup contender every single year. I walk into that locker room and I could not have been more pleasantly surprised to just meet you because you were at that time a star. Let's not understate it too. You were one of those players that every team wanted, a no-nonsense guy that doesn't really rock the boat, and you just went about your business and you left the rink. Is that pretty much a good overview of your career and how you kind of carried yourself?
Yeah, I'm thank you for the nice
You're
words.
welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the loudest guy in the world. I'm not gonna walk in and dominate it like Jumbo does when he walks in and everywhere, you know. But yeah, that's a great locker room. I mean, we have so many really nice, like, genuine good people. And that helps. That's probably one of the reasons why we were so successful for so long, and people wanted to come play in San Jose at that point. And that's the leadership that we had at the start. And yeah, we had some fun, man. We played on some good hockey teams.
Is it cool to look back? Because now you're officially retired. You retired at the end of last season. What are you, 35 now? So it like that
36.
that 36, that part of your life is over. Is it weird to look back? Because we just were talking that you
Yeah.
went and did your entrance physical because you still have to do that because technically you're still being paid, a lot of money, mind you. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of do-re-mi. But is it weird now? This is your first year where nothing to work out for. Nothing to prepare for. It's got to be strange, right?
It's strange. I'm going through a little bit right now just because, like we said, I was in at the facility today, and I haven't gone to the facility this summer, even though we were in San Jose for most of the summer, because they're renovating it. So the
Oh,
whole Shark
finally.
side is under renovation. So walking in there today, it's a completely new building, and it's just a weird feeling, not going there to change and get on the ice and skate or sit and talk to the guys. You kind of feel, I mean, for me, I felt, I know a lot, almost all those guys in the locker room, but I feel like an outsider. But it's a different, it's just going through different stages of when the career does end. It ends for everyone. And I'm fortunate that I have some really good friends still there in the organization. So today was awesome to just go in and see people I haven't seen in a few months. And we're going to stay out in this area at least for the next little while, so hopefully get to go to some games this year, and then kind of be around, watching as that team takes the steps in the right direction, because I think they're poised to with the players that they've got right now. And soon enough, the Sharks will be back in the playoffs, and I'm excited for all those people that are there.
Yeah, you're still got the PR Logan Couture kind of cookie canned answers, but just be honest. You were in that shoe, ninth overall draft pick coming into the rink. You already feel like you're like not a part of the team. Last year, was it strange you didn't play any games? I was there, I saw you for Jumbo's retirement thing. Did it like was it just talk about last year, because it's weird. You're this 35-year-old guy, the captain of the team, but you're not playing any games. How close were you to the guys on the team?
Yeah, last year was tough. The kind of the process was I went into that summer, like, because I played six games a year prior, and went into the summer with full rehab program, like full belief I was playing. Kind of was feeling shitty still sometimes when I was working out, and I'd be like, yeah, it's just part of the process. Like, your body's just saying, dial it back a little bit. And then we talked to the Sharks, and I was planning on coming out because we're having our second kid and we're going to have our daughter here in San Jose. So I was going to come out early and skate with the people here, with the medical people and everything. And before that, they wanted me to go see a specialist in New York. So I flew out to New York while I was still in Canada. And he kind of did an assessment, an MRI and everything. He just said, no, like
No way.
you can't get back on the ice. Like, you're not there yet. So then rehab, like, ramped up a ton more rehab in San Jose before the season started. So I was like around the rink every single day, at least at the start of last year, like up until November-ish, when at that point I couldn't put like back-to-back good days together. Like, I was struggling to get upstairs again, and getting out of bed was hard some days. So at that point, I think it was like November, December, I had a pretty good idea that I was never going to play again. So yeah, I kind of took a step away back from the team, because you can only go to the rink so much and feel like you're part of it when you're not. And like, I was there for, the young guys if they needed me, but it's every day and they don't need me that often, and I was spending so much time there that my relationships were more with the
The
physical
training
therapy
staff
people
and
and training staff and the management. Like, I was more closer to them because I didn't travel at all. So yeah, it was a weird year. It was hard. It was hard. And like, no one really knew what was happening with me. We didn't really say anything to the media, when we did know, because I didn't really want it to be a distraction like mid-year. But Greerzy and I were talking about it, and we were on this, like, he was so supportive. We tried so many different things to get back to playing, and it just got to a point where, like, I'm 35. How many games am I going to be able to play? Am I going to play one and then sit for 2 weeks? And how hard is this going to be on the body? Because each time I continued to ramp it up, it would get more painful and more painful. And
crazy.
in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, how many more times do I have before this doesn't go away? It's a weird injury. It's common in soccer players. It's common in hockey players. Mine was really bad, and it still bothers me. A lot of the days, if I'm trying to train right now, if I play some golf, I'm sore for a while still. But we're hoping that that'll go away soon. But
It's not
yeah,
something a surgery. So, is it the
osteitis
osteitis?
pubis.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah,
groin. It's kind of.
kind of groin. Groins, hip, everywhere in like the pelvic region, really. Like, I had pain that moved kind of all the way around, and we tried cortisone, we tried a ton of different therapy ideas, training with different therapists with different ideas. And there's an option to like shorten your adductors, but that just shortens your stride, and it's not guaranteed in being 100% successful. And yeah, so at that point in my career too, it's like, do you want to try explore surgeries and all this and all that? And
Gosh,
yeah,
is that scary? Because as a hockey player, especially being you're super fit, man. Like I've seen you, you're just a rock. Is that scary to be like, okay, I trained, I worked out, I've done everything, and it still hurts. Like it's not getting better. How was that mentally? Obviously, you have your wife to kind of lean on a little bit, but that's got to be kind of a hit to the ego.
yeah, it was tough. I got to a point the year prior when I was able to play. I was seeing this therapist in San Francisco, and she got me back to, like, I thought it was gone for good. And then after a couple games, maybe even in that first game I played, it was like, oh, like, this isn't good again. Like, I'm gonna be out again. I played six games, and then when it flared up, man, it was like I could barely walk. I had a tough time walking and like getting out of bed, and like, my wife would have to help me up from the couch, and it's like, what am I doing right now? Like, there's no way, you can't live life like this. So yeah, that was pretty devastating. And but I'm in a better spot. Like, the when it gets really, really sore, it's not as bad as it used to be right now. So that's positive.
So there's so much to unpack there. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's just
Yeah.
such a it's not a way you want to go out, right? Because you were this like incredible hockey player and to go out, but I guess you went out injured. It wasn't like you just slowly drifted away, but are you happy with the way it happened?
Yeah, I wish we would have won. I wish
Yeah.
I could have had another chance to win, and it just didn't happen. It doesn't happen. That the human body really only can only take so much. I played 900 games, like 120 in the playoffs. It's a lot of hockey over the career and my lifetime. And yeah, I wish I had one more chance in the playoffs, but it just didn't go that way. We didn't make the playoffs for a bunch of years down in San Jose here. So yeah. But yeah, it is what it is at this
Yeah.
point. Like I'm pretty happy with life and my family, and I still have those relationships with people in the Sharks, so I can pop over there whenever I want. And if I do have some interest in getting into hockey, I'm sure there'll be opportunities as well.
You'll sign it with a job with the Sharks probably within the year, I would imagine, just because you got, that's what everybody does. Jumbo's got a job. I'm surprised Marlowe, Pavs will be in there soon. You all will be running that franchise in short time. Question. You mentioned the last few years, you were playing great. Like you were still playing good hockey. I think your last full year, you had 60, 70 points
Yeah, I
on a
did.
not a very good team, Logan.
Right.
You guys were shedding salaries. Was there a time when, was Greer the GM at that point 2 years ago when you were still playing? Was Mike there?
Yes.
Did he ever come to you and say, hey, do you want to move on somewhere? Would you like to go to a playoff contender? How, like, did that ever happen?
Yeah, we had conversations, and he is as forthcoming and open.
Yeah.
Someone in management that I've been around, and so yeah, we talked, and at that point in my life in that career, I still had full belief that the Sharks we're gonna prove people wrong, make pushes and make playoffs, and I wanted to do it here in San Jose. I just didn't want to do it really anywhere else. I think like at that point where the salary cap was at too, I would have been a hard contract for them to
Yeah.
move, for teams to take on. So I don't even know if there was interest. I don't know any of that, but he said, if you ever, if something comes up and you want to try to go somewhere else, you just come knock on my door. And but it never got, even never got to that. And then I got hurt, unfortunately.
Well, I would just say for a guy who crushed it in the playoffs, I'm sure there would have been some interest.
I heard a few people that said that to me as well. And yeah, I guess. I mean, I know the way the business works and all that, but yeah.
So let's talk about that because you were clutch in the play. I played with you in the regular season. We didn't get to the playoffs because I blame McClellan and Doug Wilson for ruining that season at the beginning of the year, or the whole captain fiasco.
That was wild.
Wasn't that wild? Let's touch on that because I come to San Jose thinking we're going to get a Stanley Cup run. And right before the season starts, they go, whoopsie daisy, we don't have a captain. We're going to take it from Jumbo and give it to Pavs. You were there for their whole tenure, pretty much. What was going through your head? Like, why rock the boat at this point?
Yeah, I don't really know if we were given a reason of what happened there.
Yeah.
If we were, I don't remember it. But yeah, I don't think those guys were happy about it. I don't think many people as players were happy to have Jumbo, the C taken off of him. He's one of the best players of our
Yeah.
generations, and he's the alpha in the locker room. And I mean, he wanted to win almost, if not more than
Yeah.
every single person, because he took, even though he says he may not hear it, he took so much heat at the start of his career about not being a playoff performer and all that. And I think he probably wanted to prove everyone, like most of the best players in the world, they want to win. And he was great in the playoffs. He had some amazing playoff runs over his career too. So weird situation. I mean, they handled it incredible.
Yeah.
It didn't become a huge ordeal in the locker room. Like, Jumbo and Pav are close, and Jumbo's probably Pav's biggest fan or Patty Marleau's biggest fan. Like, they all wanted each other to be successful. And yeah, interesting one there.
It's crazy to think that all three of them were captains of that team.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Talk
They're
about
all
like you.
different guys, and like they
Yeah.
all lead in their own way. And like Patty's obviously quieter than Pavs and Jumbo, but he's a leader in his way. And yeah, some really cool people.
What's it? So I want to go back to when you joined the show because I'm looking at this roster And it's like Patty, Jumbo, Pavs, Heatley, Klo, Boyle, Setoguchi, Daddy, Jason Demers was there, like great defenseman. Was that intimidating jumping in that situation? Because you're a young kid coming out of Oshawa and you get just thrown into the mix of a Stanley Cup contender. It's like, all right, here we go, sink or swim.
Yes, yes and no. It's very overwhelming walking into the NHL locker room, I think, on any team, especially the ones with that amount of superstars. But Jumbo's personality, like he's so infectious and so loud, and you're his guy, you know, off the start. And he was so good with like us rookies, like so good that you felt like you belonged and you're part of the team. And, you know, he'd bring, make sure that you're always involved in something, dinners on the road. You know, Heater would grab the young guys, take them out for dinner on the road or buy them this. Or I remember once we were in Vegas and Jumbo took a bunch of us after he'd won some money at the table. He took a bunch of us to Hugo Boss and bought like four of us rookies, brand new, like top to bottom suits, buy boxer briefs, shoes.
No kidding.
Yeah. He was just that type of guy, like just such a welcoming person. So if I was like nervous or you're nervous walking into the locker room, it goes away pretty quick because you feel like you're just part of the team, part of the boys. That's how great it was walking in there.
He did it to the vets too. I remember at the end of the season, we went to Vegas as well. And I didn't want to take the private jet because I was like, Jumbo, this is too much for me. I'm this schmuck making, you know, 700K. He's like, Big, you're coming with us on the jet. You were on the jet with us. And so I didn't tell anybody, or he didn't tell anybody, I should say, but he paid my way on that jet, the PJ. Because
there's so many stories about Jumbo like that don't get out. And he doesn't like to talk about himself and he doesn't like other people telling his stories, but he's such a great guy that does so much for so many people.
Was it good for you? Because I know you. You're like a fun-loving guy. You like to joke around, play cards, this, that, and the other. But you seem to be a very, not an introvert, but just you don't like the attention. Was it good to kind of be on a team that had a Burns, that had a Jumbo, that had, you know, an Adam Burris when he was there? Guys that, like, when I enjoyed the spotlight. Was it good to have those guys to kind of shield you in a way?
In a way, yeah. I mean, there's so many different personalities on those teams, people that I guess talk about or whatever. And yeah, I don't love having the spotlight on me quite much at all, really. I wish I didn't. But yeah, I mean, Burnsy was always doing something, or Jumbo with beards, and they always had stuff going on. So it was nice to just be part of the guys, you know.
But then when it came to on the ice, what I found that was insane about you is, like, it's overtime or it's, you know, third period, last minute to go, those guys are on the ice and you could pass the puck to them and you're like, no, I'm gonna rip this shot. Was there ever a moment in those moments where you're like, gosh, I should probably pass it to Jumbo, or I should probably pass it to Pavs, or I should probably pass it to Danny Heatley? Instead you took that shot. Did you ever second guess yourself? Because they're Hall of Famers, Cooch, like,
yeah,
every one of them.
Jumbo didn't want to shoot it anyways.
Well, no shit. Like, but like the other guys,
back to me.
Burns, he never met a shot he didn't like. But yeah.
Yes, the odd time if I look up and they're wide open and I put one in the goalie's chest, yeah, everyone feels bad about doing that, especially those guys, because they're probably going to bury it, you know, 9 times out of 10. But they were all supportive. You know, I was like, make the plays that are there. When I was on the first power play unit with those guys, and I jumped on that unit, they said, just make plays, like, go out and make plays and we'll work together. We're a 5-man unit out there. That's why power play was so good for so many years there.
Yeah. Talk about that unit. Cause I actually wrote it down on my agenda, because when I came to San Jose, I was blown away by how great you guys were, and it all orchestrated, correct me if I'm wrong, by Jay Woodcroft, kind of putting that together with the triangle and 2-on-1-ing players and really taking advantage of the space, because you had five guys who could score and do damage. How, just talk about that power play, because it was insane how in sync you guys were.
It was, and yeah, Woody had a lot to, and Todd, they did a lot of special teams power play work, and yeah, I mean, we had like 8 really good players that could have been on the first power play unit. I'm trying to remember that 15 year, it was probably me, Patty, Jumbo,
Pabs, and Burnsy,
and at the start it was Dan Boyle was there as well, so we flipped from Burnsy Burnsy to Boiler, or the other way, whatever it was. But yeah, just like, we knew where everyone was going to be. You know, Jumbo is going to be on the half wall in that area, and that's just where he likes to be. Sometimes he would work behind the net. But the rest of us were interchangeable. Like I'd end up at the top and be the quarterback moving around the zone because it was just get it and move. Like Woody was so good at making sure we didn't stand around on the power play. Like Jumbo would stand with it sometimes, but that's just when he's waiting for a stick to move from the lane, right?
Yeah.
But so many different things. So such great scouting. We had, you know, this is going to work on this team. You know, you use that Stafford play down into the middle for Pavs or me. You work lefty righty off certain areas. Pavs always had the high tip with Burnsy. Like that was all those guys extra work because they were on the ice, you know, 20 minutes before practice started working on something like that. And yeah, we just knew where each other, and that comes with playing for multiple years together. We just knew where each other were going to be out there.
And even that breakout, I feel like you guys were the first ones who invented that breakout where you pull the puck up, drop it back to a guy flying into the zone, and you enter the zone untouched. Is it kind of cool to see everybody doing? Everybody does that breakout now.
Everyone does a version of it. We had one that teams don't do anymore that I haven't seen. Actually, I got a clip of it from Steve Spott. He sent me Burnsy, Jumbo, all of us, a clip of the, it's called the high cutback. And teams don't do it anymore. I think it would work, but everyone does the drop pass now. It's tough to defend. I think we maybe copied it from Buffalo. Buffalo could have been the first team that thought Maxim Finneganov to do like a single drop. So I think maybe that's where they found it.
What's the high cutback?
High cutback is the Burnsy would bring it up the right wall a little bit. Jumbo would stay up at the high blue line. And as Burnsy would come back, he would drop it to Jumbo. Jumbo would actually be
Coming the
coming back
opposite way.
our net. And then the other guys would, there'd be two guys flying dot lane. Both lefties preferably. So then Jumbo can pass to the near one or he can pass to the far one. And then there's a guy posting the other blue line waiting for the ladder play if you need to ladder it, entering the zone.
The modern game. Beautiful, fast, clinical. So why are most betting apps stuck in 2005? The miracle in Istanbul, over. Thierry, no longer scary. Unbelievable Jeff, no more. It's time for change. Bet £5 and get £25 in free bets and 50 free spins with Midnight. We're not your granddad's bookie. Search Midnight Sports and make the move to Midnight. New customers only. Reward restrictions and T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Autumn, when the colors change and the breeze is fresher, a time to take stock and start some new autumn rituals, like cozying up with your fave podcasts. Whilst you immerse yourself, complement your me time with Costa Coffee's Maple Hazel range. Enjoy a silky latte, a refreshing iced latte, or luxurious hot chocolate. It's the taste of autumn in a cup. Head to your nearest Costa Coffee store or Costa Express machine to pick up a Maple Hazel drink while stocks last.
Jumbo's the only guy who can make a pass going towards his own net, back up the ice, and hit someone on the tape. So I think that's why
Oh,
teams don't do it.
yeah, possibly. I mean, possibly.
So let's talk about this. I know before the show, maybe it was at the beginning of the show here, you talked about you didn't win one.
Yeah.
You know, during your tenure with San Jose, you ran into dynasties, you know,
Yeah.
Chicago, LA. St. Louis to a certain extent, but Vegas Golden Knights, like there was juggernaut teams in the West. Did you, and again, this was Doug Wilson, was there ever a time when you felt like, gosh, what were you guys missing, I guess? Because it felt like you had everything.
We did, and you know, I look back at some of those years. Like, you know, we played Chicago in that conference finals, and we outplayed them in game one. Antoniemi made 50 some saves against us, and then they won two games in overtime. So it was a close series, but they swept us. And then the next year, we lost to the Canucks in five. That was the Stanchion game when Bieksa scored off the Stanchion. But Luongo for like three games made 50 plus saves, and in
Yeah.
the overtime game, he made over 60, and it was just he was a good goalie. And he made some big saves, and they scored some timely goals. And the year we went to the finals and lost to Pittsburgh, we that was a tough one. I really thought we were winning the Stanley Cup that year, going into Game One. But we gave up a late goal in Game One. They won. Then we gave up an overtime winner in Game Two. They won. And then we just were it's tough to come back from 2-0, and we couldn't get it done that year. And you know, that one hurts. And same with the 2019 one. I thought that was going to be a special year just because of Game 7 against Vegas.
Yeah.
We won a Game 7 against Colorado with a goal that was also disallowed for offside. And then we just got banged up. Everyone got hurt in the St. Louis series, and we lost to a good, so they're a good team. I mean, obviously they win the Stanley Cup, but that one hurt as well. I thought that was going to be the year everything seemed to be going right for us. But yeah, injuries happen, and the team that stays the healthiest throughout the playoffs and gets some timely goals and gets a hot power play is gonna win a series. I mean, the games happen so quick, and unfortunately we're on the wrong end of all of those.
What was like I was a part of two playoff runs. I'm the opposite of you, where I would just sit and watch. I didn't play. What was it like? Because you played 20 games, 24 games, 15 games. How beat up are the guys? Like, what was the worst thing you saw a player just grind through?
Jumbo played through a very, very bad shoulder injury in that Vancouver series in 2010. I think Rafi Torres is the one that actually hit him in San Jose. And I don't know if Jumbo likes me telling the story, but I don't think he could tie his, he had someone tying his own skates. He couldn't get his jersey over his head. And he didn't complain. He went out and played. And, you know, if no one's ever told this story, I bet people don't even know about that. But yeah, those guys, a lot of those guys, they play through so much. And I mean, it's part of the hockey culture. You're playing for a Stanley Cup, and you're, you know, five, six, seven wins away from your lifelong dream and, you know, legacy for your career. So you're willing to play through a lot. If you can get out there and help the team, you think, then guys are playing through it.
What was the best? Well, gosh, there were so many rivalries. Who did you love playing against? Because you were not only were Cooch you putting up points, but you were the shutdown guy. Like, if we had a team that we had to shut down or a line or a player, it was Logan, take care of him. Like, that is your job. Who did you like taking out? Was it Kopitar? What was it? The Kane or Taves?
I love Kopitar. He's one of my favorite players to watch, play against. Yeah, we had some rivalries over the years, and they obviously won a few cups, but he is just a nice human being. Like, I met him a couple times at an All-Star game or something, and he'd wait for after the game to say hi to a couple of us from the team, because he was just a nice dude. And then I like playing against all those guys. Yeah, Taze, he's hard. He played hard, and
Yeah.
He was a good player. And yeah, like trying to shut him down or Kane down was hard. Those guys are so good back in those days. Or the Vancouver, probably my 2010 against the Sedins in the playoffs. I would get the Sedins at home because we would have lost change, and then they would throw Kessler against me when we were in Vancouver, I believe. And that guy played hard as well.
Kessler, yeah, he's beat up now too, eh? He could barely walk these days with his hip and
Played hard.
everything.
Like he knew where to cross check you when the ref wasn't looking. Like one of those sneaky, dirty guys, kind of like Jumbo was too.
Yeah.
They always knew where to whack you, and it hurt. And there was real hatred between us and the Canucks. Like we hated each other in those years. Same with the Kings. There was real hate, like just like there was with us in Vegas. You know, a couple of years when we were playing them in the playoffs there, that was real. I like beating those guys a lot. I really, really enjoyed beating Vegas when we did in Game 7. Like it's probably the highlights. You know, I wish I could say I won a Stanley Cup, but I didn't. One of the highlights was that Game 7 comeback.
Down
That was,
three rep.
yeah, it was amazing.
And you were the major catalyst, probably the biggest catalyst of that comeback. You score two goals and you just spark the comeback, gets the game tying goal. You win in overtime.
Yeah, Barclay Goodrow got the OT winner.
What's that like, man?
Yeah.
Because like I said, I'm in
Well,
the press box, probably four or five beers deep at that point, just watching the team play. What's that like? Like, you score the game tire to make it 3-3, you're down 3-0, game seven at home. Like, is it just to look back now, was it insane?
insane. Yeah, insane. I probably told this story 100 of times to people because that's one of the first things that people ask me about is that game. And it was so loud in that building, and you have so much adrenaline. Like I barely remembered a lot of what happened. I went, after we won, I got home and rewatched it over again just because I forgot so much of the game and the comeback. And another funny story. So Goody gets on the ice. That was his second shift of overtime. There's like 2 minutes left in that overtime period when he scored, just because he needed to have a shift because we were rolling three lines and like guys are getting gassed by the end of that period. So he gets out there and Carlson gives him a great pass and he walks around Fleury and scores. And yeah, that building was it felt like it was going to explode. Like it was the top was going to pop off. It was so loud in there, so much emotions, and you just played a team for 7 games, and like I said, the hatred was real. You know, you're going through that handshake line, and it was a blur, but there were
Well,
some
yeah,
pretty upset
Mark
people.
Stone's one of those guys who I've always not liked, and I don't know why. He just got one of those faces and the way he plays the game, so it's got to be a little gratifying. Now, I didn't like you playing against you too. You had one of those faces where you were just one of those, like, you had that little grin on your face every time, and you didn't do
Yeah.
anything, but you just looked like a guy you like to hate.
For sure. And there's a lot of those guys.
So you get through the playoffs. I we had to film on Zoom, so we only have a couple minutes left, unfortunately. What's like? Is there anything you regret in your career? Because a guy's always like, oh, my greatest moment, Vegas, and overtime, this and that. When you look back, you played over 10 years, almost 1,000 games. Is there anything you would have done differently?
Get up to 100% boost on football Accas with William Hill's Acca Boost. From 5% for 4 legs, right up to 100% for 15 legs or more. Available on 90-minute betting, 2 up, both teams to score, and over or under goal markets. Get your Acca Boost with William Hill, online and in-shop. 18 plus, cash football Acca, excludes over-the-counter bets in shops. 4 plus legs, minimum odds of 1 to 5, maximum £10,000 online, £2,000 in shop. Free bets excluded, T's and C's apply, gambler aware, play responsibly.
Hello, sweater weather. Bring on cozy duvet days, crisp air and crunchy leaves. Out is out. And the original pumpkin spice latte is in. Handcrafted with our signature espresso and seasonal pumpkin flavors. Then topped with whipped cream, cinnamon, and nutmeg. Hot or iced? PSL, it's here. Only at the Starbucks Coffee Company. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Maybe gone to a world championship. I was asked a few times and I never went. I had a grudge against Hockey Canada for the longest
Why
time.
is that?
They didn't invite me to World Junior Camp. It was in Ottawa. I was drafted by the Sharks 9th overall, and I think I was having a really good year, but they never invited me to that camp or that team. So I was upset about it. I thought I deserved to be there. So yeah, they asked me a couple of times. Obviously, when we went in the playoffs, I couldn't play. First year, we missed the playoffs in 2015. They asked, and I said, no, I'm not going. Like, screw you guys. But I because I would say I would play for the Olympic team 100%, 100%, and the World Cup team if I ever got invited. Not thinking I was ever going to get invited, but I got fortunate that Jamie Benn got hurt the one summer, so I was an injury replacement for that World Cup team, and got to play on that 2016. And that's another highlight of my hockey career. That in Toronto, playing for Team Canada, winning a gold medal was unbelievable. It was so much fun.
And so that's interesting. So you held that grudge for almost 15 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't get asked to play for many of the teams. There's some years where they didn't ask me, and I probably would have went, but it could have been like 2 times where they asked, and you know, I was banged up too, so I would have gone over there playing through an injury, because it's 80 games, and so a lot of hockey. And you know, one time I had sur I could have pushed surgery off, but I had the surgery, and was like, no, I'm not gonna go, I need to have surgery. So but yeah, I was upset with them for a long time.
That's insane. What? Stay on it pretty quick. Why do you think they didn't invite you?
I don't know. I don't know if they liked me as a player. You never really know. They never give you an explanation. It's just, you
No
know,
kidding.
invited. Yeah.
Did you play? So that's insane. Okay.
Didn't
All
play any
right.
World Juniors.
Nothing. So the only time you put a Canadian jersey
Played
over your
under
head,
18. Under 18, I played.
under 18, you played. Oh, sorry to hear that, Logan.
Yeah.
Did you? And I wonder if it. Anyways, moving on because we could go down that rabbit hole for a long time. All right, what you had Vegas, you had your regrets. What is other than the playoffs? What do you take from hockey now? Because you had a great career. What is like? I don't know how to phrase this, Logan. I want to ask so many things. What was the high then? If it wasn't for playoffs, was it just being consistent, being that type of player? Do you wish you were a different type of player, focused more on scoring, or because you were just such an all-around player, you could have really focused on the offensive end more, and just put up 100 points every year, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love the way that I played. I loved the way that I was coached as a young player, the way I was coached in junior by Brian Kilgray. His big message when I was 16 there. I mean, when you're 15, 14, you're playing minor hockey, you're scoring a million points, and because you're just better than everyone. But show up at junior, and Killer's first message to me was, you're going to play as hard as you do offensively in your own defensive end, and if you don't, then you're not going to play. And that stuck with me. I was already a little bit of that type of player, but I think Killer probably saw that in me, that it was there and I could check, and he forced me to check. And I think in the long run, it helped me immensely in my career, because I learned how to penalty kill, and I took pride in not giving up goals and playing against the team's best players. And I think it made me a better player overall. It helped me improve a lot. And yeah, I'm happy with how I played. I think the highs of having this career was, I came out here, met my wife in San Jose, our kids are out here now. And, who knows what would have happened if I wasn't in San Jose, right? Everything kind of happens for a reason, and we're at where we're at right now. So yeah, I mean, having the kids and getting the family out here lately has been pretty, pretty amazing.
Well, you're one of a dying breed of just an all-around forward who can do it all. And I think Celebrini is somewhat like you, where he does, 200-foot game. But when you look around the league, that's not the case. When you look at the Sharks roster, before we wrap it up here, they got so many good young players, though.
So many.
Like, just insane, the potential that they have. How far along are we from them to really be a contender?
I don't know. I don't. It depends who you ask. You got to get everything that goes right. And I'd love to see them in the playoffs this year. I think it's so hard for teams that are going through a rebuild. Like, there's so much that
has to go right.
They have to get to. They still have to learn how to win these tight games. Then they got to start to learn how to win these tight games down the stretch, because they get hard. It gets harder to do. And then you got to learn how to win in the playoffs. So there's a lot of steps still. I hope it's soon, though.
So who is a guy that maybe is underappreciated on this roster? We had William Eklund on the show a couple months ago, and I was blown away by this kid. But you got Smith and Celebrini. They get all the gravitas, and you got Toffoli, the veteran. Is there a guy who's – is it Eklund who's the sleeper? Who's the guy who you look at and you go, damn, like, he's a good player.
Really, yeah, he's a really good player. I think he's going to have another good year. He's getting better each year. I mean, he's played in parts of five seasons already, I think, or four seasons, just because he played, like, those nine games and he got sent back. So he's got that experience. Very shifty. I think as those other young kids get better as well, as they improve, it's going to help him on the power play and in certain areas. So I could see him putting up a lot of points in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree too. Are you happy you got to play with me? Last question, because I was just such an impactful player on your career.
Yes, I always love fellow Bills fans.
Ah, they're doing so good.
That was great. And we roomed together on our first trip up to Tahoe. That's when I knew that we were
meant to be. That was such a chill trip. It was very just laid back and just really good for the team morale. I enjoyed that trip too. But anyways, Cooch, we're going to get dropped here in a second. I appreciate you jumping on, man. Yeah, I know you don't like doing this. Have fun at the golf.
The modern game. Beautiful, fast, clinical. So why are most betting apps stuck in 2005? The miracle in Istanbul, over. Thierry, no longer scary. Unbelievable Jeff, no more. It's time for change. Bet £5 and get £25 in free bets and 50 free spins with Midnight. We're not your granddad's bookie. Search Midnight Sports and make the move to Midnight. New customers only. Reward restrictions and T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, sweater weather. Bring on cozy duvet days, crisp air and crunchy leaves. Out is out. And the original pumpkin spice latte is in. Handcrafted with our signature espresso and seasonal pumpkin flavors. Then topped with whipped cream, cinnamon and nutmeg. Hot or iced. PSL, it's here. Only at the Starbucks Coffee Company. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Looking for a new job? Just go to Indeed and Bob's your uncle. Except we don't really care who your uncle is. Sorry, Uncle Bob. Instead of who you know, we want you to show off what you know. Indeed lets you put your skills and experience front and center, so you can match with jobs that fit your talents, not your family tree. Download the Indeed app and start making the world work better for you today.